The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, it is the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. We appreciate them and keep them in mind, too. If you're tired, I know we're all cooking more at home these days. But if you want to give yourself a break from the kitchen and order some takeout, a lot of restaurants in the area are still open and offering takeout. And, of course, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is one of them. So you're in the Watkinsville area and Five Points, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen will have all your I'll have all your pizza needs. I even got French fries from there once, and they are top-notch. So even if you're in the mood for just some good French fries, hey, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen can hook you up on that front as well. Chris Brame, David Johnston along with you as we get into some stuff recording this. Now, 1 week out from the NFL draft, Dave, and as a Falcons fan, the way and Thomas Dimitroff now has been drafting since 2008. I think he's made, I counted the other day, I believe it's like 85 or 86 picks is the total number of picks. But so here he is again. He is still in place, and he'll be drafting a week from now. But I don't know, as a Falcons fan, when it comes to the NFL draft, is it like, is there any excitement there? Or is it basically just, you know, you're holding your breath or holding your nose at whoever the team takes?
I guess I've gotten to the point now where I just expect the worst and hope for the best. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on with all of that. You know, now it's like, well, should the Falcons have traded back and, you know, now try to get DeAndre Swift instead of signing Todd Gurley? It's like no one's ever happy with anything.
No,
you
know, yeah.
You know, maybe that's what they're going to do. I don't know. Anyway, maybe they'll take him anyway. But it's like anytime there's a cause, there's an effect. And it seems like I was just reading a couple of things lately about, well, now they could get DeAndre Swift. And well, yeah, I guess they could. I would like to think they would have thought of that before they signed Todd Gurley, but I don't know with this regime anymore.
Well, I guess they can't win with Georgia fans. I guess they're probably they're figuring out what like how Kirby might feel every now and then. But so hey, we signed Todd Gurley, and now like, well, maybe you should have gotten DeAndre Swift instead.
You never get do anything with Bulldogs.
Yeah,
and then they do something with Todd Gurley and. Now there's an element that's not happy with that.
Yeah, but wait a second. Well, the report yesterday from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network was that maybe Atlanta would trade up, which is something Dimitroff has been fond of doing. He's either moved up or into the first round five times over his drafting history. And the thought is, and I could see it too, because it caught my eye the other day. I was looking at their current depth chart. And right now, their starting cornerbacks are either going to be Isaiah Oliver, who they took last year in the second round or the year before, and then Jordan Miller, who they took in the fifth round last year out of Washington. So that cornerback depth chart is like, I mean, you can't go into a season with those two guys being your starting cornerbacks. So I'm pretty much now. If I was mock drafting for the Falcons, I think they're going to take a cornerback. And it sounds like since Okuda's going to be gone, C.J. Henderson appears to be the number two guy on the board. So that's probably going to be the guy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking also. Because Trufant, he's with the Lions now, so he's gone.
Yeah.
So, and I know he's not a cornerback, but Keanu Neal has just been, you know, as part of that secondary, he's just been hurt so much over the last couple of years too. So I guess it does look like another Gator might be a Falcons draft pick and be in the – but who knows at this point? Unless they just love Okuda and they would want to try to move up to get him. But, you know, he could slip down to maybe 7, 8, or 9, something like that. You know, a lot of the mock drafts, even like the last couple of months, had him going as high as like number 3.
Yeah, he seems to be the.
But if the Lions were to trade down a little bit and then maybe take Isaiah Simmons from Clemson, then does that move Okuda down some more? If the Falcons were to try to trade up to get him?
Yeah, I mean, it seems most of the consensus has been that he would go 3 to the Lions, but there's the possibility that the Dolphins or somebody might trade up, feeling they need to get up there to get Tua or the quarterback that they like, and then.
You know, all right, Mr. Dolphin, do you think they're going to end up with Tua, or do you think the Chargers are going to get him?
A lot of the stuff you read now, and that's the thing about this time of year, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe when it comes to, you know, teams maybe throwing some misinformation out there to get somebody else off their scent. But it sounds like the momentum is building for them to take Justin Herbert, which would just be brutal.
Oh, so you're not a Herbert fan?
Oh, God, no.
Because of him, or because he's an Oregon quarterback?
There, I mean, it's not fair, but the Oregon quarterback stigma certainly comes into play. But no, I wasn't a fan of his going back to when I watched him in that, when they played Michigan State, and was it the Red Box Bowl a couple of years ago? And I think they won 7-6, but they crossed Michigan State's 40-yard line once.
Hey, that's a good defense, Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched him last year in the Rose Bowl, and I think he did rush for 3 touchdowns, but he had a terrible game passing. I've seen some numbers with him when it comes to his completion percentage and his throwing the ball downfield, which just are not good. And I think, I mean, to me, like, Tua is, he's the guy, and I get it. He's got tremendous injury baggage now, but he's that guy that a year ago, when all we knew of Justin Burrow was he was like the 12th rated passer in the SEC, it was like Tua was the no-brainer, the guy that was going to be the number one pick in the draft. And I feel like if he didn't have this injury history, it might be more of a contest right now for the Bengals of who to take, whether they take Burrow or Tua. So I would still roll the dice and take Tua.
So the Dolphins wouldn't move up? I mean, you think the Chargers are all bid? I mean, what would be the deal, though, with those two teams?
I think the Dolphins are the team that's got the ability to move up, because they've got 2 other first-round picks in this draft. I think they've got at least 1 extra one for the 2021 draft, because they have given away half their team from trading Tunsil and Minkah Fitzpatrick and then Kenyon Drake. They've added all these draft picks over the last couple of seasons, so it would seem kind of strange to throw a lot of that away just to move up and take a quarterback, because I don't think they have to worry about Washington or Detroit, and then you've got the Giants picking 4th, taking a quarterback. So you could, I just feel like they could sit there at number 5 and get who they want.
Yeah. And but if they really want to, though, that's the thing. Unless they think somebody's going to jump ahead of them. I guess I was looking at Bulldogs. I mean, I still feel like DeAndre Swift will go in the first round somewhere. I guess Andrew Thomas will certainly be the first one off the board for the Bulldogs. Could he end up blocking for Tom Brady? I guess there's that chance.
That seems to be the popular opinion.
Yeah. And then Swift maybe. Who's going to be the third Bulldog? That's the question there. Would it be Isaiah Wilson?
I think it's going to be him, yeah.
Yeah.
With an outside chance.
I mean, unless somebody really likes Kinley, but I still think Isaiah may go ahead of him. But Kinley's in the conversation also of being the third Bulldog drafted.
Yeah. I mean, Wilson has got the potential to maybe slide in late in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, he's just one of those guys, when you look at his height and just how massive he is, I could see where he would be an attractive pick, and especially to one of those teams late in the first round of the draft that's already good and maybe doesn't feel like, maybe feels like they could take a reach or a flyer on a guy like that.
The interesting one is Jake Fromm, kind of like Paul Simon. He keeps slip-sliding away. What's going to happen to Jake Fromm?
How many mock drafts have I seen that have the Falcons taking him in the third round, which is absurd? Like, the Falcons are not drafting Jake Fromm, and they're certainly not drafting him in the third round, so I really don't get what the thought is there, but that is, I mean, seeming the more likely, like, the area of the draft he's going to end up.
Patriots. I could just see it. I could see him going to the Patriots.
Yeah, like, I think the two teams, like the Colts and the Bucks, that just signed these veteran quarterbacks who are going to be, I think Rivers signed the 1-year deal at Indy, and Brady's got this 2-year deal at Tampa. I think either one of those spots would be pretty good destinations for Fromm. He obviously wouldn't go in there and start immediately, and could learn the ropes under a veteran quarterback in either one of those places. I have read that with Fromm, because they, even though they haven't been able to do any of these pro days or workouts or anything, and Fromm did not have a good combine, but one thing they have still been able to do is have, like, you know, virtual meetings. And so the one area that we always suspected and sort of knew that Fromm was going to excel was he was going to wow coaches with just, he was going to interview well. And it sounds like Fromm has done that. So even though he wasn't able to maybe bounce back and do anything at a pro day in Georgia from the combine performance he had, it does seem like at least his ability to get in front of some of the coaches and be interviewed by him and talk to him, he's been able to show off his brain and his acumen there, and that might end up helping him out after all.
Well, it definitely won't hurt him. I guess his combine wasn't probably as good as he wanted, and I don't know, not having a pro day was something I know he was definitely looking forward to. Wasn't it Jake? He was going to try to set one up down in Houston County or something.
Well, yeah, didn't he?
They got the kibosh put on it. Now, Tua got to pull his off, though, in Nashville. That's not fair.
Well, I think Jake's problem was that he like broke into his high school football stadium.
Yeah.
And so they had to go and kick him out of it. But the cops like drove by and they noticed that there was a pickup truck like right by the fence. And so they had just,
hey, what's going on?
Yeah. They just leaped from the bed of the pickup over the fence and onto the field. So maybe if he had gotten some, I don't know, maybe if he had asked permission, it would have been different, but. Yeah, I know Tua got to post his videos, but Jake was probably better off just doing interviews anyway, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. With where he's been and everything he has to show over his career at Georgia, his interviews are definitely going to be good. Maybe it wouldn't have been a terrible thing not to have a pro day. I don't know. Well, I know he – I mean, like, say, like, the 40 time he ran wasn't great, but was it – much worse than anyone thought it was going to be. It wasn't like it was a second slower. I mean, no one knew. I mean, everyone knew he's not Mecole Hardman. So, I mean, how much does that factor into, you know, where you're going to pick Jake Fromm?
Yeah. I mean, you'd like to think that a quarterback running a 40 is almost the last thing that would swing a vote one way or another for a guy. I mean, I know they have the throwing drills too, but, you know, he might have been better off in a environment he was more familiar with in Athens than what he dealt with there at the combine. But, you know, hopefully some of these interviews have helped. I think, you know, for our purposes here, because there's definitely more of an interest than anywhere else, one of the great prop bets next week for the draft is who goes first, Jacob Eason or Jake Fromm. And that probably is as interesting when it comes to Jake as even as much as where exactly he's going to get taken.
Well, now we're coming up on the break here in a moment. Let me ask you something. So I'm looking at Walter Football. This might be the last time I do this. Their mock draft has Ben Cleveland going in the fifth round. Did I miss something with Ben Cleveland?
No. Okay. He's still a Bulldog.
All right. Just checking.
We hope. I mean, the last we knew, he didn't play in the bowl because he wasn't eligible. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a huge question kind of hanging over college athletics, too, as much as – you know, when are they going to be allowed to practice? When are they going to start again? But, you know, are they keeping these guys eligible? You know, how are these guys doing staying eligible?
Well, I mean, I hope he's been able to stay eligible in his online classes. But, yeah, I mean, that's another big question there is how is all that working?
Yeah.
And I hope it's working out.
Yeah,
just because we're in these weird times. I don't know.
Yeah, Walter Football probably needs to update that mock, though.
Yeah, they also had the quarterback from Stanford that transferred to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
They had him go in the late rounds also. So maybe Walter Football needs to get their you-know-what together.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So me and my buddies have been jonesing for some gambling.
Okay.
And when we come back, I'll tell you what we've done and see what you think about it.
Okay. I'm like the NFL draft next
week.
Yeah,
it's about the draft, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've never seen a menu of draft prop bets like they're offering for next week. Because, I mean, all these casinos and offshore bookies, I mean, their business is suffering just like everyone else's, and they're looking for anything to throw out there to get somebody to make a deposit.
It's just sad whenever I see like photos of Vegas and stuff. It's just incredible.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's why I really do hope that there's a way that, because I love the idea of the NBA just coming back and say, we're just going to start the postseason. So the 16 teams that would have been in the playoffs, and just basically having like a tournament. Every team is in Vegas, so you know you can open up the hotels to the NBA teams, and that'll help at least give a little business out there that they can have some bodies in the rooms, and then just you know, have the whole tournament in Vegas, not unlike all these college basketball conferences that hold their postseason tournaments there, or even preseason tournaments during the season.
Hey, that's a thought. Could they put slot machines in rooms, and then you could check into a room and play a slot machine?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. I do that.
You know, there's people that would do it.
I do that at your own risk. I hate to say it, but like once Vegas does open, like I would be very careful about playing any game at any of those casinos because that house.
You ain't winning.
No, you're not.
They got some money to make.
Yeah, they've got to get a little something back in the coffers first. The Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also Five Points in Athens. And again, you could get us every week by subscribing on iTunes. You can listen on demand at the website 960theref.com, or better yet, get the 960 The Ref app. Find all of our on-demand content there. You can also listen to The Ref live wherever you are and whenever you want. Chris and Dave with you, the Crossover Podcast here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You know it's just a matter of time before you'll want some comfort food, like a big ooey gooey pizza or juicy wings. But you can curb those cravings with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen's curbside service. Just go to fullyloaded.pizza and pay by credit card. Then once you arrive, call them with your name and car description. They'll bring all your comforting favorites out to you. Get comfort food curbside with Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
The Crossover Podcast, Part 2. Chris Brame from the home team, David Johnston from the morning show. And you mix that up and you get us, the Crossover Podcast. We appreciate you listening to us every week, however you are, as we try and get through these days with no actual sports. But the NFL draft is at least going to come through for us in about a week to give us some good fresh sports content to get into. And all right, so Dave, you were mentioning exotic gambling.
Yeah, so I don't know. All right, so me and my buddies that are in my fantasy football league, we have come up with, and I don't know who, I mean, I don't know who thought of the idea, or the guy that proposed it. I don't know if he thought of this or if this is something going around on the interwebs, but it's called a last man standing. And what we have done, we've already done our draft. So there's 13 of us, and you want to come the closest to being Mr. Irrelevant. So you're picking guys that you think are going to be drafted last.
Okay.
Overall. So there's 13 of us, and we did the snake draft like you do in a, you know, like a fantasy football draft. We just had a random drawing. So, you know, the person who picks 13th also gets the 14th pick, you know, and it rolls back the other way. So I ended up with the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I was 9th out of 13th. So here are the four guys I picked.
All right.
I picked Rodrigo Blankenship.
Okay.
Kelly Bryant.
Okay.
Shea Patterson.
All right.
And Keyshawn Vaughn, the running back from Vandy. So basically, you get like 3/4 of the pot if you are the guy that's, you know, closest to Mr. Irrelevant. So if no one gets the last guy, you know, just basically whoever's closest to getting Mr. Irrelevant. So we have like a first, second, and I think if you're third, you get your money back.
Right.
If we were playing for money, or it just might be for entertainment purposes only. Who knows? But at first when I looked at it, I thought this is kind of weird, but it actually ended up being kind of fun. And let me tell you, there were some names thrown out there that I have never heard before, And I'm sure everybody's just looking at mock drafts and everything like that. But I, at least I wanted to do it with the guys I picked. I wanted them to be guys that I knew who they were.
Right. So, and also, so the Giants hold the last pick.
The Giants hold the last pick. And, you know, who knows what they may end up doing. And maybe they may not end up getting the last pick. I mean, I don't know. It just depends on how all the stuff works. But our fourth round of picks were guys named Isaiah Coulter, Darrington Evans, Damar Hamlin, stop me when you've heard of anyone, Drew Richmond, Logan Wilson, Anthony McFarland.
Logan Wilson, he go to Virginia Tech?
Wyoming. Now, he may have transferred.
But
this says Wyoming on here.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking maybe I'd heard of him, but okay. I guess not.
Anthony McFarland went to Maryland. Levante Bellamy, John Reed, and as I mentioned, I took Keyshawn Vaughn. You would have stopped me there because you knew who he
is.
Case Kukus.
That's a good one.
Cash Malula, Darnell Mooney, and Javelin Guidry, which is my favorite name, by the way.
Honestly, if somebody actually has the guy that will be picked last in the draft, and like I finished third where I'd get my money back, I would donate my money to that person for being able to accurately pick who the last pick of the NFL draft is going to be.
By the way, here are the names in our third. We only did four rounds. Here are the names in our third round. Javon Leak, again, stop me when you've heard of somebody.
All right.
Tristan Colon Castillo, Justin Sternad, Jake Luton, David Woodward, Rashad Robinson, Garrett Marino. Does that one ring a bell?
No.
Okay, he was the UAB quarterback.
Okay.
Trajan Bandy. he went to Miami.
He did? Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mentioned Shea Patterson for me. All right, you'll get the next one. Larry Roundtree III.
All right, Missouri.
Yeah, the Missouri running back. Darren Paulo, Pete Guerrero. Yeah, Pete Guerrero. I think he's a catcher.
I remember him. He played for the Dodgers.
That's right. This Pete Guerrero went to Monmouth. The Falcons might take him. And then Levante Taylor.
Yeah. Falcons might take that guy in like the fifth round, though.
Exactly.
The Monmouth
exactly.
guy.
So anyway, that was that turned out to be kind of fun. We had a good time with that. Well, we did it on a text string.
Well, I'm looking at it's funny, like the recent history of the last pick of the draft. I mean, there's no way to really even predict
what
it might be. Although you have an SEC quarterback, I guess somewhat. He was a quarterback for the SEC for 1 year. Chad Kelly did go in 17.
Yep.
You took an SEC kicker.
I took Kelly Bryant, and I took, Hot Rod.
Ryan Succop was the last pick of the 2009 draft
out of
South Carolina. But you just going back like the last 10 years, you've had South Carolina, Weber State, Rice, Northern Illinois, South Carolina again. Congratulations to the Gamecocks. Memphis, Louisville, Southern Miss, Ole Miss, SMU, and then last year it was Caleb Wilson, a tight end out of UCLA. So it's a mixed bag of, Power Five, non-Power Five. Although in 2003, I'm seeing the last pick of the draft was a receiver named Ryan Hogue who attended Gustavus Adolphus.
I don't remember seeing that name on any of our drafts or at that school on any of our drafts. So I'll go back and check.
Yeah, maybe Gustavus Adolphus was actually the player that was taken and they attended Ryan Hogue. I don't know, but
one or the other. Did he go to Ryan Hogue College?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the Raiders they might have announced it that way, knowing the Raiders. So it's even a guy from Alabama was the last pick of the draft in 2007, Ramsey Robinson.
So you're kind of like saying what I found out earlier this week is like there's like not really any rhyme or reason or any kind of a trend or who would be Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, not even when you look at the positions. It's like you've had, let's see, tight end, receiver, quarterback, cornerback, tight end, safety, tight end, quarterback, defensive end, receiver, kicker, OLB, cornerback, receiver, tight end. I guess maybe tight end is...
Tight end, maybe. I was just thinking, all right, just try to find some guys you might think go in the seventh round and then just get lucky. And
yeah.
Keyshawn Vaughn might have been... He might go before the seventh round.
Oh, and the interesting one, Hot Rod, Hot Rod might go in like the fourth or the fifth round.
Yeah, that might have been way too high on
the way kicking was last year in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like, well, I'll draft a bull. And several of us did go. I mean, since we all went to Georgia, let's see. Someone took Lawrence Cager. Someone took Tyler Clark. Someone took J.R. Reed. Someone took Charlie Werner. Let's see. I guess that was it for the dogs.
Yeah. Werner's not a bad pick there, baby. No. But you got tight end. That's one.
Yeah. So, tight end. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Cager will be interesting. I guess he's coming off an injury. And did he get a combine invite even though he wasn't going to be able to work out? I don't remember if he did.
I don't remember.
But, I'm busy preparing my notes for next week when the Falcons draft C.J. Henderson to point out how he was torched all afternoon by Lawrence Cager last year in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, by that Georgia offense that couldn't do anything. We're going to take somebody from third and Grantham.
Yep, but would we go 13 out of 18 last year down there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the game that Cager had basically what against the Gators was similar to what? Well, I don't know. Was it the game Pickens had in the Sugar Bowl was it actually wasn't even a game. It was just the first half.
But it's like second quarter.
Second quarter. That was the best game. That second quarter was the best game any Georgia receiver had all year.
Yeah.
And Cager, though, had a great game, though, against the Gators for sure.
Yeah, Pickens, he ended up did he tie or set the Georgia Bowl record for catches, and that was even when they only had one in the second half. I think
wasn't it like 11 out of 12 in the first half or 12 out of 13 or whatever it was.
Yeah, and then 8 or 9 of them came in that second quarter alone.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Cager, I just hate to see that he got hurt, but we'll see if he ends up getting drafted.
Well, as we wrap up, one quick Georgia football note on what would have been G-Day this Saturday.
Yeah.
They announced earlier in the week a virtual G-Day for this weekend, which will be the SEC Network showing last year's Notre Dame game and Kirby live tweeting during it. And I guess on Facebook Live, there'll be a third viewing option with a broadcast from the radio crew with Scott Howard and Eric Zier. And I guess Chuck Dowdle will be on it as well. So you got some option this weekend to hang out with Georgia football, even though there won't be any G-Day.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see what a lot of schools are going to do to come up with ideas like this. I think it's pretty clever on Georgia's part, and just to see what it sounds like, what it looks like, you know, getting Kirby involved, and you know, maybe they might try to do a little bit more of this kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be a G-Day, a virtual G-Day, for them to do this kind of stuff. I mean, I like what the radio network's doing and the stuff we're carrying on Fridays from 2 to 4 with a classic Georgia football broadcast, and then you and Jeff doing the post-game show. I think that's been pretty cool. So looking forward to, whenever whoever's listening to us is listening to this, we're recording this on a Thursday, but the next day, Friday the 17th, we'll have the Georgia-LSU game from 2013. So, yeah, kind of looking forward to hearing you and Jeff talk about that one.
Yeah, that's the first interesting one that we've had, because the first two were the Notre Dame games, and Georgia had great years in both of those. 2013 LSU was like an all-time like Sanford Stadium experience. That was a great game and a great Georgia win, but it turned out to not be a great Georgia season, because I mean, a couple weeks after that, we were losing at home to Missouri. I mean, that's the first one that's going to breaking down the rest of the season is going to be a little different.
I just want to know how much talent was on that field. I'll be listening. I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say about that.
Well, yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah. How much talent's on the field? A lot.
Yeah, there was a ton of talent. And
that'll be good.
Yeah, but I remember that game was – there was a lot of buildup and hype for it, because you had, you know, Mettenberger was coming back, and Murray, who – once dueled during, speaking of G-Day, they once had a G-Day duel to be Georgia's starting quarterback, and then Mettenberger ended up at LSU, so he was coming back. And, yeah, that'll be fun to talk about. And then we'll close out the month the following Friday with the 2017 SEC Championship game against Auburn. That was a great game also.
That'll be fun to talk about too.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
So is it going to keep up in May? I would hope and assume.
Yes, okay. I believe so, yes.
Do we know the lineup yet, or we'll just...
I have not seen the lineup yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just save that for later.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, though, for sure. I like our NFL Classic games, our playoff games on Thursdays, and our Super Bowls on Mondays. Those are at 8 p.m. And also our Braves games on Saturdays and Sundays. They're just replaying last season game by game. And I don't know who's coming up this weekend, so I don't know if they're wins or losses. But they're just playing the Braves game back in games back from last year. I do want to mention, too, before we get done, the Stratomatic Braves are 10-11, and only reason I mention it is because I tell Logan this in the morning. It's not as much about the games, but just 10-11 tells me we're already 21 games deep into the season. It's just so painful. So, you know, just hopefully at some point we'll get something going.
That's actually a brutal record, though, considering that seven of the games would have already been played against the Marlins.
And they swept them last weekend, I think, down in Miami.
Yeah. Because I followed, like, Baseball Reference actually has a simulated series season going with something called Out of the Park Baseball 21.
Oh, okay.
And on that, the Braves are, after losing four of their first five games.
Yeah.
Have only lost three times since.
Oh,
so they
that would make them 14-7. Are they doing it day by day?
Yeah, they're like every day at like 11:30. All the games are simulated, and they've got
Stratomatic does it at 2 p.m.
Okay, yeah, Acuna's hit four home runs so far. Freddie's only hitting 184 though.
The only thing Stratomatic Freddy's better.
Okay.
Than your Freddy.
The only thing that I'm not liking about this is when I look at the box scores, they've all got every game. It's like Ender Inciarte is hitting leadoff, and
what?
Yeah.
Well, and that doesn't make any sense.
And so then Acuna is hitting cleanup. I'm like, that's not how it would be if the Braves were, but they're right now they're 14, yeah, they're 14-7.
Okay.
Is their record.
Well, I got Acuna. He's hitting .276, but he has four homers. Freddie's hitting .305.
Okay. Yeah, he's only hitting 180 something in this one.
Okay.
He's got to pick it up.
Well, next week when we're on together again, we'll compare Stratomatic. And what did you say yours was?
It's called Out of the Park Baseball.
Out of the Park Baseball. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how bad I am. I'm going to start putting Stratomatic and Out of the Park Baseball scores on Southern Sports Centers.
Yeah, I mean, it might get to that. I mean, I had to the other day I had that Trey Young had lost in horse to who did he lose to? Chauncey Billups.
So, had that. I had the horse results, and there was something else in the same sports center, and I thought, "Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is what we've come to."
Yeah. But that's
incredible.
Well, the good thing, Trey Young got eliminated, so we don't have to watch the semifinals or the finals of TV Horse.
He got eliminated by an old man, Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups.
How embarrassing.
That is bad.
If there had ever been a chance, though, for them to have Trey Young go up against Luka Doncic, how great would that have been, since those two guys are just tied together and everybody wants to compare it to each other?
No, that would have been great. But they put him against Chauncey Billups instead.
I know.
And he lost. That makes it even worse.
And he lost. Yeah. I know.
All right, Dave. Well, continue. Best wishes to you through the pandemic and all.
Thanks. Same to you and yours.
And,
next Thursday when we record the show, it'll still be pre-draft, but it'll be close.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have more info on what the Falcons have up their sleeve for that night. So I'll hear you, won't see you again next week.
Sounds good, Chris. Be safe.
All right. This has been the Crossover Podcast, presented as always by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes, listen on demand, 960theref.com, or on the 960 The Ref app. For Dave, I am Chris. The Crossover Podcast, you're on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.